Fan Junkies Radio is brought to you by FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome once again to another exciting episode of Fan Junkies Radio. I'm your host, Jonathan Ragus. Alongside me, my co-host, Mike McShane. And Mike, it's NFL Black Monday.
Oh, man, is it really? I mean, honestly, I don't know. Jonathan, it seemed to me, you know, the Black Monday has become kind of a tradition, kind of like the day after Christmas and running back to the mall, huh?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But this year's seems to be with a bit more intensity, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of teams pulling the plug on many coaches, general managers, offensive coordinators, and whatnot very early today already, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, does it seem like it's a bit more than normal? I don't know. Maybe it's because here in the Philadelphia area we've been directly affected, but I don't know. It just seems like it's a little bit more aggressive than we've seen in the past.
Yeah, it's definitely more aggressive. I mean, you can definitely see it that, you know, a lot of teams, they just did not like where their team has been this season, especially teams that had high expectations like the Eagles, the Jets, and, various others. And, right away, as soon as the season was over yesterday, teams started pulling the switches today and, just really getting rid of many different people in the organization. And, so far, there's been probably about, over a dozen firings in the National Football League already today.
Yeah, between coaches and then general managers and then other coordinator positions as well. And some of them are a little odd because, I mean, in some cases the general manager's gone, but the coach is staying. So, we're going to try to make some sense of it in the next hour or so. I'll tell you, though, Jonathan, one of the things I'd like to hear from perhaps some of the fans out there of some of these teams that we're going to be talking about. There's a couple of teams in particular I'd really like to hear some fans from. Chicago Bears, I'd like to hear from some of the fans there, and the Kansas City Chiefs as well. Not to mention, obviously, Philadelphia Eagles fans.
Well, we'd like to hear from any fans today. That'd be the great thing. So if you're an NFL fan and you want to call and talk about some of the firings today, or if you're upset about somebody who didn't get fired, give us a call at 347-237-5373. Let Mike and I know what you think about today's Black Monday.
Listen, you might have some folks out there that are upset about some of the coaches that have been fired.
Exactly. And there already are a few. I mean, taking the Twitter tale, I'll be on Twitter all day at FanJunkiesNet and also at Jonathan Ragus. We're following the beat all day today to see who gets fired, and hopefully we'll have some more up-to-date, firings and potential candidates for other positions throughout the hour here today, Mike.
Yeah, Twitter is a fire right now. I mean, I've got it running, and I'm up on it right now as we speak, and I'm just continuing to update and keep things moving. Just keep me abreast of what's going on as we're even speaking.
Yeah, and then after we talk about who's been fired and all this other great stuff here on NFL Black Monday, great for us, not great for the people who are being fired, of course. But we're going to get down to the NFL wildcard matchups, Mike, and we're going to see which team is the better team, who's going to win. We're going to throw out our opinions and our predictions, and we'll do that towards the end of the show and really delve into some of these teams also that are in the place, because guess what? There's a lot of teams in these wildcard playoffs that have been on some losing streaks, and they don't look good going in, Mike.
You got that one right. But we got a big show coming up on Wednesday, Jonathan.
Absolutely. Wednesday is going to be a phenomenal show. We're going to kick it off 2013, the new year, the right way. And we're going to be joined by New York Rangers legend Adam Graves. He's going to sit down with us for about 20 to 25 minutes, and we're going to talk about Graves' career, his number being retired, all the great he does in New York City in his new position with the Rangers over the last few seasons. And, it's going to be an incredible show, Mike. I'm very excited about it. Adam Graves is, my all-time favorite hockey player. So to be able to have him come onto our show and, grace us with his presence and talk about his career, it's very exciting for us.
Yeah, and a great way to kick off 2013, I got to tell you. What a way to start off the new year. And so we want as many people as possible to be listening in on that one. I mean, not just Ranger fans, but just hockey fans in general. I mean, and there's not been a heck of a lot for hockey fans to really sink their teeth into You know, when we've brought it up, we've always kind of we're bringing up hockey just to talk about the same old, but here. We'll take a break from talking hockey that way, and we'll talk it in a more positive way.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking a lot with Adam. So join us on Wednesday, 12 p.m. Eastern time, right here on blogtalkradio.com/FanJunkies and also on www.FanJunkies.net.
Yep.
And also, before we get into some of the firings, Mike, I just want to send out a nice congratulations and a big congratulations to former Playboy Playmate of the Year, Jade Fairbrother, who actually was voted as Miss December 2012 on Fan Junkies.
Well, there you go.
And everybody can follow her on Facebook. Just look for Jade Fairbrother and also on Twitter at Jade Fairbrother. Awesome girl. You know, she did a lot of promoting for Fan Junkies and, you know, big congratulations. You know, last girl of the year, excuse me, girl of the month for 2012 there. So we were excited to have her on board with us and basically join the Fan Junkies family.
There you go.
In that matter. And we also have some great, great, great girls joining us for, you know, the January contest. And that's going to start January 1st, tomorrow, with the first girl of the day and our newest Miss January contestant going on tomorrow on FanJunkies.net. So always look forward to that. So let's talk firings, Mike.
All righty.
And you know what? Let's talk about Jacksonville first. We're going to start with, you know, the bottom of the heap, and we knew some changes were going to be done there. You know, one of the first firings today was Jacksonville firing GM Gene Smith.
Yeah.
You know, Mike. You know, we knew something was going to happen down there in Jacksonville, but did you think that it was only going to be the general manager going?
No, actually, I didn't. You make a great point. And there's one of those ones that we were talking about, you know, that I brought up before that, you know, there are some that are a little bit odd where you got general managers going, but coaches appear to be remaining. And you got to wonder what the thinking is there. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they, you know what? They just hired Mike Mularkey before the season. You know, one season, you know, you could say a lot about the guy. They lost, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew early, you know, early in the season, which, you know, definitely didn't help them, you know, but then you have to look at it, you know, Blaine Gabbert looks like he took a step backwards under Mike Mularkey.
Right.
So you would have to think, you know, are you going to be building your franchise around Blaine Gabbert? Are you going to be bringing in a Tim Tebow now? Is this why you're, you know, keeping Mularkey because you don't care what happened with Gabbert this season? So there's a lot of questions there with Jacksonville, Mike.
Yeah, I agree with you. But obviously, as you started out by saying, I don't think any of that comes as a surprise to anybody who follows the NFL and probably doesn't come as a surprise to anybody down in the Jacksonville area.
No, no. Well, you know, like we said, 1 year for Mike Mularkey wasn't a good year. So we'll see what happens next year with Mike Mularkey.
Exactly.
I believe Jacksonville was 2-14
Yes.
This past season.
Correct.
Let's talk Philadelphia now, Mike, because I know we can talk a little bit about Philadelphia here. And finally, they get rid of head coach Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of things I can say about that. I had a very good, you know, Twitter conversation today with Eric Gargiulo, who is the creator and editor over at CamelClutchBlog.com. You know, talked to our, you know, our very own, you know, Brett Clendaniel from WrestleChat, who always calls into the show. And, you know, I have some mixed feelings about this, Mike.
Okay.
To me, I think that Andy Reid was a success because of Jim Johnson. You know, there's a lot of people they blamed in Philadelphia, whether it be a Donovan McNabb letting a Brian Dawkins leave and a Brian Westbrook kicking them all, you know, to the curb and, you know, bringing in these other people. But then what happened? Unfortunately, Jim Johnson passed away.
Yes.
Probably one of the finest defensive coordinators that we ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you saw the trickle-down effect of that happening where all of a sudden Andy Reid just did not look like a complete or a good coach anymore.
Yes.
Eric Gargiulo and I, we both, you know, agreed that, you know, Andy Reid's success was because of Jim Johnson. Now, you're a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, Mike, and you have been for a long time.
Yes.
Where do you sit with this? Are you happy that Andy Reid is now gone? Where do you see Philadelphia going in the future?
Okay, yeah, I've got, like you, I kind of have mixed emotions about it a bit. Number one, it was obvious that we needed to make a change, and I think this is overall, I think it's going to be a positive one for the Philadelphia Eagles. Look, 14 years. The word I had used a number of weeks ago was things just kind of got stale. And really, that's I think, what it is.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, bringing somebody new in is going to bring, hopefully it's going to bring a fresh new look, a fresh feel about the whole team. So I think from that perspective, it's good. What disappoints me, I think, in some respects, and then I'm going to go to your – I want to go to your comment about Johnson.
Yeah.
Because I feel similarly as yourself. But What disappoints me greatly, and I've been listening to a lot of the Philadelphia talk radio stations since, I guess, yesterday afternoon, last night, and into this morning as things have unfolded. And to hear fans call and malign Andy Reid for 14 years that he had here, I think is very, very unfortunate.
Yeah.
I think as a fan base, we need to step back a bit. And I think we need to recognize that, okay, yes, the last two seasons have not been what we expected. In fact, they've been pretty darn pathetic. Let's get it straight. Nonetheless, you know, Andy Reid won six NFC titles. We went to the NFC championship five times, won it once, went to a Super Bowl in 2005. These, you know, let's give the guy his credit for doing that. All right. Now, the other question though comes in, and that is, and I've even asked the question myself: was Andy Reid that good a coach, or was he just made to look better by the people that he had around him?
Yeah.
Namely, Jim Johnson.
Yeah.
Because I agree with you, and I made the comment yesterday on a couple of different websites and Facebook pages out there that, in fact, I really believe that the beginning of the end for Andy Reid was with the absence of Jim Johnson. You could see the entire team change almost from that very moment.
Instantly.
Yes. Yeah. If there is a moment in time that you put your finger to me, it would have to be that. Because from that point forward, the defense just never – it just never seemed to have any kind of cohesion.
Yeah.
We went through two seasons with McDermott in there. That didn't work out. Then we go and we try this experiment with Juan Castillo. That goes for a year and a half. That doesn't work out. You know, the defensive side of the ball just got worse and worse and worse as we went through the whole process.
Yeah.
To what we saw yesterday was just an absolute disgrace. It was a disaster defensively. Mm. So I guess when I'm talking, I say I've got, you know, mixed feelings about it. On one side, I give Andy Reid credit for the successes that the Philadelphia Eagles had in the 14 years that he's been here. At the same time, I do sometimes question whether in fact he is a guru type coach. You know, is he a Holmgren-esque type coach, really, or was he just perhaps the beneficiary of some pretty good talent around him? I mean, look, you know, Philadelphia fan bases had gotten on Donovan McNabb for years and years and years as well, but you can't take anything away from the play of Donovan McNabb when he was here and in his heyday as well.
Yeah.
And that particular period of time would coincide with the period of time when Jim Johnson was running the defense at its optimum.
Yeah.
So those were the best years, obviously.
Yeah. Well, before we get to who you think is going to be the future of the Philadelphia Eagles here, we have a phone call from 661 area code out in California. 661, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm not in California, but hey, how's it going, guys?
Oh, look at you. It's Jim.
Jim, how are you?
What's up with the 661 area code, man?
Well, that's Skype for you, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that comes down to.
Yep.
Such is life. Mike, I got to agree with you wholeheartedly.
Just talk up a little bit, buddy.
Okay, you know what? I'll call back on a different line. I'll call back.
There you go.
Minutes.
Appreciate it, man. We'll get him right back in here. A little cut up. I don't know what's going on with
Here we go today. Today it may just be one of those days, and we'll find out.
You know what? Everybody's off today, so everybody's listening.
That's a good thing. But yeah. We'll find out after the fact. He sounds fine, but it just doesn't sound real good on our end, and we can't make
details. Yeah, he probably sounds great on your end, everybody. But unfortunately, if we can't hear him, there's
no two-way talk at that point.
Exactly. So we know. All right. So I just actually got a couple announcements here via text from a couple of my NFL sources. We'll get to that in a couple minutes. But now let's talk, the future of the head coaching position here in Philadelphia. And we just got word a little bit ago from Alex Marvez and Brett Clendaniel that Falcons offensive coordinator Dirk Koetter is actually going to interview for the Eagles head coaching job this week.
Correct.
You know, where do you see the Eagles going with their future of the head coaching position here, Mike? And where do you want to see them go?
Okay, one place. Let me put this out there right now, and I'd like to get Jim's feel on this because, of course, he's a Philadelphia guy as well. So when he gets back in here, I want to get his read on it. But Let me tell you one place I do not want to go, and that's Chip Kelly. And we have heard this name bantered around the Philadelphia region now for the better part of about 2 weeks, 10 days or so. Chip Kelly, of course, is the head coach for Oregon. And one of the reasons I really do not is because I don't want anybody from the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 coaching. I really don't.
Yeah.
I don't have much respect for the for those two conferences.
Yeah.
And from what I've seen of Chip Kelly and his game plan, it's working well at Oregon. That's all fine and good. You're in a weak conference. Let's get it straight. I see a lot of bells and whistles and gizmos and what have you that I just don't think are going to translate into the NFL. I, for one, would like to see the Eagles go to it doesn't even have to be a proven NFL coach, but somebody with NFL experience.
Yeah.
I would prefer to stay away from the college ranks. That's just my personal opinion on it. Now, that's not to say that college coach couldn't translate.
Yeah.
I think there are probably a heck of a lot of good college coaches out there that could. Chip Kelly, in my opinion, is not one of them. That's just where I'm going to
Okay, so now out of the names we've seen fired today, out of the names that have been sitting in the booth for a couple of seasons now, who do you think would be perfect for the Philadelphia Eagles coaching job?
Well, you know, everybody's talked John Gruden and thinks that John Gruden would be great. I think from a public relations standpoint, I think John Gruden would be great. But I've often questioned whether, in fact, John Gruden is all that great a coach, or did he just get lucky?
Well, that's exactly.
And inherit
he came into a team down there in Tampa Bay that was already set.
Exactly.
They didn't have the greatest of quarterbacks, but they had one of the finest defenses in the league that season. So.
Absolutely. Bill Cowher's name comes up. I don't know if Bill Cowher really wants to leave what he's doing at this point and go back to coaching. Seriously? You know, I don't know how serious all of that is. So the two big names you hear all the time, are John Gruden and Bill Cowher.
Okay.
All right. I'm not saying we have to go in that direction at all. You had just mentioned, and it's been confirmed by numerous people over on Twitter. You had just mentioned from the Falcons, what's his name?
Dirk Koetter.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people that's going to interview. They're not going to just – don't get me wrong. If they get a phone call from a Bill Cowher, Bill Cowher says, hey, I'd love to take the coaching job, I'm sure they'll do their due diligence and interview a couple of people. But, you know, you're going to hear about it real quick if it's a Bill Cowher.
However, they're going to have to move fairly quickly. And the reason for that will be that they've got the deadline coming up on what they're going to do with Michael Vick.
Yeah.
And I think that I believe that Lurie's probably going to leave that decision to whomever the next coach is going to be, which is why they're going to have to make the move fairly quickly, because I believe it's something like their deadline for their contractual obligation to Michael Vick, I believe it's something like 3 or 4 days after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we're looking at roughly about a 4-week window, and really I think it's probably going to have to even be shorter than that. For the Eagles to make their decision. And the big reason is because they're going to have to make their determination on what they're going to do with Michael Vick.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where it's going to go, I don't know. But I guess to answer your question, Jonathan, what I would like to see, I'd like to see a coach that's going to have at least some NFL background, either as an offensive or a defensive coordinator or even a previous head coach. Personally, I'd like to see the Eagles move into a defensive area. I'd rather see a defensive coach coming in than what we have seen for the past 14 years, which has been a more offensive type of minded coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to a couple other teams, Mike, because there are a lot of firings here, and I just got word after actually two teams that fired a head coach and a general manager tandem just now over the last couple of minutes. Chargers have fired head coach Miles Turner and general manager A.J. Smith, just announced by Dean Spanos.
Yep.
Cardinals have just fired head coach Ken Wisenhunt and general manager Rod Graves. Both are gone from Arizona.
Yep.
Let's talk Chargers first.
Both of those not unexpected.
Not unexpected, but somehow expected. Let's talk Chargers first. North Turner's been here for quite a while. He's now gone. Let's talk about this real quick. Do you see North Turner becoming a head coach again in the NFL, or is he going to strictly be an offensive coordinator somewhere?
Well, listen, if he is, I certainly don't want him over with the Eagles.
Well, hopefully for you, that hasn't been rumored. But it has been
exactly.
That he might be offensive coordinator for the Jets if they fire Tony Sperano.
I've never been a big Norv Turner fan to begin with, particularly as a head coach.
No.
Frankly, I think if the guy's going to stay in coaching at all, I think he does himself a bit of a disservice by going to the head coaching position. I think he'd be better off as an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. That's just where I come down on that one. So
he is above a 500 winning coach, though, Mike.
Well, yeah. You know, I think part of the problem
in his career.
I think part of the problem out in San Diego was that every year there was so much expectation for that team to go someplace, and every year they fell on their face.
Well, you know what? In those regards, I blame AJ Smith for that.
Okay.
Here is a guy that fired Schottenheimer when he was 14-2.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you had players that left. Okay, Drew Brees left. Whatever. You had Phillip Rivers there. Okay, great, grand, whatever. Vincent Jackson leaves. Couple of your decent running backs leave. He never filled those holes, Mike.
Right, right.
So, unfortunately, I think Norv Turner was an average, maybe a little bit of a above average head coach. But in this case, I think AJ Smith just dragged him down that whole losing streak in San Diego.
Yeah, very possible. Very
possible. And that's why I think, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Mike Tannenbaum getting fired by the Jets. He took a good team. And he didn't know how to fix injuries, how to fix holes that were, avoided by retirees and all this stuff. And that's what ruined the Jets.
Right.
And that's where I think A.J. Smith is done. Mm-hmm. So, who do you see in San Diego? They already said that they're not interested in Andy Reid. Do you think it's going to be anybody big or what?
Well, I was a little bit surprised at that report that I read because, a lot of the speculation had been – here in the Philadelphia area that, Andy Reid might, just land safely in San Diego, which would have been fine with me. I was a little bit surprised. I didn't read what the details were. I didn't get a chance to read the details if there were, in fact, any given for why San Diego was not interested in Reid. Apparently,
You have to think that if they're not interested in Reid, they're not going to be interested in the big-name coach.
All right.
They're going to go to somebody younger. They're going to go to somebody that probably doesn't have a ton of experience. So, it looks like they're probably going to start ripping apart down there.
Yeah, it might be. It might be.
Will Rivers go? Will some of their vets go? I mean, that's what you're going to have to think about. If they're not going to be interested in a guy like Andy Reid, what else is in line for San Diego?
Yeah, I think the more interesting question would be, who are they going to bring in as general manager? Because that's the first issue that's going to have to be addressed. They have to deal with that one first, then you're going to be talking about your head coach.
Yeah.
Because, a lot of the direction of the general manager is going to be, who the coach is going to be. I would not want to be a general manager going in and then not necessarily having a say in what the team looks like.
Yeah.
So, you might be right. I mean, that might be the situation where they're looking at actually, breaking the team down and kind of restarting all over again.
Okay. Now let's move it over to Kansas City, Mike, and in a move that had me scratching my head here. Romeo Crennel, head coach, fired. Scott Pioli, out.
Yep.
What's up with that?
Yeah, I'd love to hear from some KC Chiefs fans.
Because that's just something that, had me scratching my head when I learned about it. When I heard that Romeo Crennel was out, I was 99.9% expecting that Scott Pioli was going to be right behind him.
Exactly, and that's where I was going with it. It doesn't surprise me that Crennel is out. What surprises me is that Pioli is still in.
Yeah.
And that is a guy that in the KC community is not well-liked, which is why I would love to hear from some KC Chiefs fans to get their read on that whole situation.
Absolutely.
Pioli actually was much more maligned in the KC community than Crennel ever was.
Absolutely. Well, let's see.
We got
Jim Williams calling in right now. Let's see if we
can
get Jim here, and let's see if we can actually hear Jim. Jim, what's going on, buddy?
Am I audible now?
Yes,
you are audible.
Yes,
hooray! Let's see how long this lasts.
We'll see.
Yeah. So, Jim, we're already past the Eagles.
But
this is something that we expected. Andy Reid going. Real quick, where do you see the Eagles' future going from the head coach position?
That's a tough question.
That's what we asked, man.
I understand that. You're broadcast journalists. I understand that.
Exactly.
The answer is I really don't know. I wouldn't mind a John Gruden type, but, some of the names that have been bandied about just irk me. Like, for example, one that may not irk you guys, maybe it will, Bill O'Brien at Penn State. I can't see that working out.
No. No.
On multiple levels. I mean, number one, Bill O'Brien has, to some degree, done amazing damage control at the university there.
Yeah.
They need him. He's needed more at Penn State than he's needed anywhere else. And number two, I don't think he's an NFL-quality head coach.
No, because there's really not a lot of college coaches out there that are NFL-quality. And we've seen a lot of college coaches come in who, you know, were rumored that they can't wait to be an NFL head coach. They have the skill and the talent to do it. And guess what? A couple of years later, they're back in college.
I think it's a little early to make that assessment on Bill O'Brien. I mean, look, he does have NFL experience coming down from New England.
Yeah, but for every Jimmy Johnson, there are a million Barry Switzers. So,
sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Listen, you know, just because you come out of a team that's a winning team, that doesn't automatically give you NFL experience. Because, you know, being in New England, he wasn't doing anything there.
Well, let me throw a name at you, though, Jim. One that fascinates me, and I wanted to get your read on it because we've heard a lot about it, and we're continuing to hear about it here in the Philadelphia region, and that's Chip Kelly.
We talked about this online, Mike, back in over the weekend, and I'm going to use one of your lines. Hopefully you will not sue me for plagiarism. But Chip Kelly is the epitome of flavor of the week. Perhaps that's W-E-A-K, not W-E-E-K.
Right.
I liken the concept of Chip Kelly coming to Philadelphia. Well, here's what I liken it to, and it's not to a coach. You remember about 5-6 years ago when everybody and their sister was doing the Wildcat in the NFL?
Yeah.
Ooh, it was the hip thing. It's different. It's going to revolutionize the game. You see anybody using the Wildcat now? That'd be a no.
Correct.
So,
Tim Tebow, man.
How dare you speak of his name in vain? No. No, he mocks God. He mocks God. No, but... the whole... Chip Kelly would not be a good fit here. He would not be a good fit. I don't think he'd be a good fit anywhere, but where he is right now, not that says much.
I agree, and yet some of the reports are that he is going to land a pro job someplace this coming season. And with so many openings as we've seen today... it would seem obvious he probably will. If the guy wants to make a move out of Oregon, he's going to make a move. Somebody's going to give him a chance.
No doubt. There's a sucker born every minute, and somebody is going to pull the proverbial trigger on Chip Kelly. And I say
let it be San Diego or Arizona.
Oh, Arizona would be hilarious. Are you kidding?
Hey, listen, you know what? They have an opening now. So.
Sure. Yeah, well, they have more than a few openings, I think, but yeah.
That's correct.
Well,
that's
correct. Quarterback, running back, second and third wide receivers, tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Head coach, general manager.
Indeed.
Executive managers.
See, you can go to Arizona, you can take half those jobs. There you go.
Well, exactly.
Yep.
All right.
Just to sum it up, though, Jim, John Gruden type, I just made the comment before you jump back on. Gruden, listen, I think from a public relations standpoint in Philadelphia, the fan base would love him. But I've always been somewhat skeptical about Gruden. I've questioned, you know, is he really all that? I mean, look, let's get it straight. The guy inherited a team down in Tampa Bay.
And you can make a case also he inherited a decent core when he was a coordinator here in Philadelphia. I think there's something to that to a certain degree, but he has the it factor, and that might be something that's been sorely missing in this town since probably Buddy Ryan was a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you go back to, before Andy Reid, you had Ray Rhodes, who was Ray Rhodes. Rich Kotite, the less said about him, the better.
Right.
Gruden gives you an it factor. Gruden gives you instant credibility, whether he deserves it or not, and people will believe and buy into him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he says and whatever he does because of his track record, as limited as it may be. And, and there was a report on awfulannouncing.com, one of the great websites out there, that he is indeed willing to take interviews. Big shock.
Plug, by the way.
Yes. So.
Do the Eagles go with NFL experience, or do you think they'll go to the collegiate ranks?
They've got to go with somebody who's had pro experience. They have to, I think, whether it be a coordinator, whether it be a guy in the booth. And I agree, it will not be Bill Cowher. I think Bill Cowher is too far removed from the game to ever come back to the game as a coach.
Right. What do you think of Lovie Smith?
coming to Philly or just getting fired?
Well, okay, both. We haven't brought up Chicago.
Yeah,
yet.
Come on, man, come on. But we have, you know, come on, we have a list here, man. Come on.
We'll go through the list then. I'll listen in.
We have to go through the list, Mike. You can't go from A to Q, man. Come on.
go ahead. I'll stay on board here. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to get a handle. I mean, since we're talking Philly, and we do have a number of guys that are available out there that were just cut today.
Yeah.
Well, I'm trying to get Jim Green on whether. Hey, you know, would Lovie Smith be somebody that could work in here in Philadelphia?
The answer is no. I don't think Lovie Smith would work. Now, I'll tell you for why.
Go ahead.
Lovie Smith is to Chicago as Andy Reid is to Philadelphia. Same page, different refrain, in my estimation. And you know, you see the various websites and the various locals with the obvious question, well, how would you grade Andy Reid? A through F. I grade him as a C. He was good. When he was good, he was good. When he was bad, he was atrocious.
Right.
So that averages out.
Well, I hate to say it, but when he was good, Jim Johnson was alive. When he was bad, Jim Johnson wasn't alive. So
sad to say, but it's absolutely true.
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing with Lovie Smith in Chicago. He couldn't get his team over the hump, and that's what he will be remembered for.
Well, you know what? In my eyes, I mean, you make a really great point. But if you look at it too, both of these guys, Reid and Lovie Smith, they have a horrible track record of picking probably some of the worst offensive coordinators a team could possibly have.
You ain't kidding.
You know, so, I mean, honestly, if you look at it, black or white, I mean, Andy Reid and Lovie Smith could possibly be brothers.
And interesting, I don't know if Mike's watching the CSN coverage here, but a quote from Jeffrey Lurie, I strongly believe this is the most attractive place to work in the NFL, end quote. Yeah, sure it is.
Okay, well, wait a minute, though. It could be. It could be.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what? It could be, too, but also Philadelphia fans could be some of the nicest people. It could be.
Well played.
The one thing I will say for the Philadelphia Eagles, they have not been afraid to spend money. It's not like you're going to go to a team. It's not like a coach is going to go to a team and it's going to have to beat his head against the wall to get ownership to spend money. To get players. That's never been the case. Andy Reid has pretty much always had an open pocketbook.
Well, yeah, because he was one in tune with management because, well, for a while he was partially management.
Sure.
So he could open the purse strings as wide as he want. Usually he did the purse string opening on Chickies and Pete's and various cheap days.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though, too, at the same time. Warrior really had a lot of trust in Andy Reid. Whatever comes in now, is Lurie going to have that type of friendship and trust with the person who comes in now, and is the purse going to be that wide open now in Philadelphia, especially after the signings of Nnamdi Asamoah and all these other guys who basically just failed?
Interesting. Jim just said too much.
I agree.
You know, there's too much loyalty there, I guess.
Yeah.
Very much too much. And now you got to wonder how the Howie Roseman angle is going to play in Philadelphia. By the way, got to agree also about, you were talking about Norv Turner, and since I love berating people who I never have met in my life, let's start with Norv Turner again. He shouldn't be a head coach anymore in this league. I mean, go back to his days with Washington, didn't set the world on fire. You know, underproducing and underperforming in San Diego. Gee, what coach hasn't underproduced and underperformed since Air Coryell in San Diego? You know, some people are better. It's just like my theory on broadcasters. Some people are better as play-by-play guys. Some people are better as studio hosts. Mm-hmm. Some in football, some people are better as head coaches. Some are best as coordinators. Same kind of theory.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
But you know what? Here's the thing, too. It's always the best tandems in sports. You know, you have a point guard and a forward in basketball. You know, passing to each other, they create, a chemistry that goes on for years. John Stockton and Karl Malone. The NFL, you have a Montana and a Steve Young with a Jerry Rice.
Sure.
I believe the same thing goes for coaches and executives as well. I thought that Norv Turner wasn't as horrible as he looks like because of the job that A.J. Smith done in San Diego.
I'll grant you that. I'll absolutely grant you that. But you just look at his track record in the NFL, and Norv Turner is at best an average head coach. At best an average head coach.
Agreed.
Yeah, but, you know, also, down in San Diego, it's not like he had a world of talent down there either. You know, like Mike and I were talking about, when anybody ever left from prior to Norv Turner's coaching stint beginning in San Diego, A.J. Smith did nothing to plug that hole up.
Okay, I'll grant you that. I mean, yes, you have Phillip Rivers, who is deteriorating by the second. I think a limb might fall off in the next couple of minutes.
Let me ask you, if San Diego kept the Drew Brees, things could have been a little different.
Well, I don't know about that, though, because I didn't see any initiative being made by that team to get him the pieces that he needed around him.
No.
What could have, should have.
No, but that's the thing. They let people walk out of San Diego like it's just a, you know, door to a store. You know, Breeze leaves. I listen, Vincent Jackson had his time down there, and it wasn't great down there either. We all know that. But still, you let a guy like Vincent Jackson leave, and look what he did this year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things you could talk about with the San Diego Chargers roster. I mean, they did have some decent names down there.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yes.
You know? So, I mean, you know, even running back style, you know, you want to talk about a Natrone Means or, some backups and, Ronnie Harmon and stuff like that. These guys leave. You know what? LaDainian Tomlinson was there, but then all of a sudden they let a LaDainian Tomlinson go. He should have just stayed there and retired in San Diego.
I was going to say, when was the Jets fan in Mr. Ragus going to mention LT, even though he didn't do much in New York? I was wondering when that train was coming.
No, but honestly, listen, Tomlinson didn't do a lot in New York, but he was a serviceable running back.
He kept everything on split carries,
and there was a lot of times where they couldn't get a first down. Who got them the first down was LaDainian Tomlinson.
Right, and he was a good third down utility back, sure.
Exactly, for what he did. And they could have kept him and let him groom some of the young guys down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, a lot of that goes on the back of A.J. Smith.
Okay, yep, I agree.
So let's run through a bunch of these things real quick here, because we only got like 23 minutes left in the show. We want to talk some playoffs here. Mike Tannenbaum out in New York. Me as a Jets fan, perfect move. You couldn't keep him or reassign him in the league. It would have been terrible for the Jets. Rex Ryan stays. What do you guys think of that, real quick?
Well, what do you make of all the chatter today, Jonathan? I mean, talks are that apparently there was supposed to be a press conference at 1:00. That's been pushed back now to 4:30. The owner there apparently is in the training facility. Nobody was expected to see him there until about Thursday. There's talk that there's going to be a change in the direction of the team. What do you make of it all?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Everybody is as confused as we are right now. a lot of rumors going around before we even heard about Tannenbaum getting fired, that Tony Sperano last game was yesterday and that was it.
Right.
He's still with the Jets as of now. He's in the building.
Mm.
So you would have to wonder, is most of the coaching staff going to go now or what?
Well, that's my point. I mean, would it come as a shock to you if, after apparently it was announced? I mean, my question is, was it officially announced that, in fact, Ryan was staying? It was announced earlier. That was the report that we got, that Ryan was in, Tannenbaum was out. Would it come as a surprise to you if all of a sudden at 4:30 we have a press conference and Ryan is out?
Yes, it would, actually.
Okay.
It would because, the big announcement about Tannenbaum this morning – that was the perfect time for Woody Johnson to can whoever else he could can.
But, you know, the whole thing just smacks to me of exactly what this team is all about, just disorganization.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, exactly. I mean, they are completely disorganized, and you know what? It's not up to Rex Ryan. It's not up to Tony Sperano. It's not even up to Mike Tannenbaum to get it organized. That falls in the lap of Woody Johnson and whatever public relations team they have in New York.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they can't even seem to get organized on the day that they're firing people.
No, they can't. You know what? And we're going to go back to the Philadelphia Eagles here for a second with Loria and, Andy Reid. There's too much loyalty between Woody Johnson, Rex Ryan, and Mike Tannenbaum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what's ruining the Jets right now. And honestly, I do think Rex Ryan should get another year. And I stated that before, but honestly,
it really depends on
who they bring in.
Hold on. You said you think he should get, or you think he will get?
No. I think he should get, and he will get. I honestly don't see him getting fired.
Personally, I don't. I think he will get, but I don't. That doesn't necessarily mean I think he should get.
No,
right.
I know what I think he should get, because there was a lot of things wrong with the team the last two seasons, and I honestly don't point the finger at him.
Yeah, but what's going to get?
Once again, we're going to talk about the general managers. Serviceable players were taken off of this team, and the wrong players were brought in. And I blame the general managers, because if you know football as well as you know your football, Mike Tannenbaum was the one who made most of these moves. And it didn't matter if Rex Ryan said yay or nay, Mike Tannenbaum was going to bring him, because that's the kind of guy he is.
All right, what are the rumors in New York vis-a-vis Tannenbaum's replacement?
Nobody knows yet.
Okay.
Seriously. There's so many people out there that could potentially take over for Tannenbaum. A couple of in-house candidates, a couple of people coming from other teams. There's just really no direction right now where the Jets are going
to
go.
You seem to think, though, that that's going to be the panacea that's going to correct the team in 1 year.
Yeah. No, it's not going to be corrected in 1 year. But if they can have a better record next year under Rex Ryan and the new general manager and either get into the playoffs or just flirt with the playoffs, but still be a very serviceable football team, that's going to be the success I think they're going to be looking for, and they're going to build it because they're going to start chopping things down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
worth a couple of things. Okay, so what do you – I mean, and I, you know, I don't want to keep pressing you on the issue. I mean, if you're just – I mean, if you come out and obviously just say, I really don't know, I don't know. What do you expect to hear at 4:30?
I don't think we're going to hear anything at 4:30.
Okay.
I honestly don't believe we're going to hear anything at 4:30. If they canceled it, they're having a team meeting at 1 o'clock, which is 1:40 now. I haven't heard anything yet. I'm not getting any text messages. I don't know. I really don't know. So,
okay.
But Rich Cimini just reported that the Jets have asked permission to interview the 49ers director of player personnel, Tom Gamble. So there you go.
Oh, okay.
So there you go.
Hmm. That might be a good move.
Yeah. A couple other things here. We talked about Lovie Smith out in Chicago. Pat
that
Jones,
one
Tom Heckert out in Cleveland.
Yeah, let's go back to Lovie for just one moment because – You know, from what I heard from Jim here just a moment ago talking about Lovie, it sounds like, Jim, you're a little bit lukewarm on him. Jonathan, you and I were both a little bit shocked by this move.
Well, Lovie Smith, oh, yeah, I was absolutely shocked by this move. You know, there's a lot of things we could talk about Lovie Smith that we can get into. We don't have that much time left. But I thought that he would have another season at this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if it's – I don't know if it's a fair move. I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, let me just throw out a couple of names real quick, and then we'll get into playoffs here. Cards, we already said it. Ken Wisenhunt, Rod Graves out. Bills finally get rid of head coach Chan Gailey. Don't even know how he got the job in the first place.
well played.
Yeah, exactly. Raiders offensive coordinator Greg Knapp out. So there's going to be a lot of names coming down over the next few days and some later today. So – you know what, we'll talk about that after we speak with Adam Graves on Wednesday if there's any more updates to who lost jobs. We'll get to that Wednesday. But let's talk football playoffs now. A lot of good games here. First game we're going to get to, Cincinnati Bengals at the Houston Texans. Mike, we spoke about it. Texans, they didn't look good towards the end of the season. You don't think they look good in the playoffs. We'll go at you first, then we'll talk to Jim about this. Who do you think is going to win this matchup and why?
Well, I haven't seen it. You know, I haven't had a chance to look at any early lines. Not that it really matters. No, I've not been impressed with the Texans. Similarly, though, I'm not impressed with Cincinnati as well. I mean, they played well enough yesterday to win, and that's fine. Both teams, to me, I'm kind of lukewarm about. Who would I give the edge to? Well, I guess it's going to be time for the Texans to come out and really start to pour it on at this point. They've had 3 weeks to do that, and they didn't get it done when they really, really needed to in order to get the seeding that would have benefited them better than what they got. So that's really why I've been questioning the Houston Texans, and I've been questioning their heart in that respect. But I think, we're now talking – this isn't the regular season. We're now talking playoffs. The Houston Texans are there. I think they have a little bit of what's the word I want? They want to make up for last year's playoffs.
Something to prove.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think you'd have to give the edge on this particular game at the moment right now to the Houston Texans.
Okay. Jim, what do you got?
Both of these teams have something to prove, quite frankly. I think Cincinnati has the edge, believe it or not. I think the key's going to be Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I think he's going to prove that his acquisition is key for Cincinnati, has really helped out the Bengals. A couple of young teams, and I think Houston's a little bit demoralized. I think Cincinnati can win this game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know what? I actually agree. I like the Texans, but I don't like what I've seen from them from the last few weeks. What the hell happened to Arian Foster? I mean, he just
from
being one of the most dominant running backs to being nothing.
Yep.
you know what? And like we said here on Fan Junkies Radio many, many, many weeks ago, I liked the acquisition of Ben, Ellis in Cincinnati. And I think that's something that could prove to be big here for Cincinnati, but they're going to have to depend on their running game as much as they depend on Andy Dalton's arm. I think Cincinnati has a very good chance at winning this game. But it depends on which team do we get coming into it.
No doubt about it. I think probably the best offseason acquisition that the Bengals made was picking up Green Ellis.
Absolutely. Next game for Saturday, Minnesota Vikings getting into the playoffs 10-6, taking on the Green Bay Packers 11-5. You know, Jim, we'll go to you first. Who do you have in this matchup?
Deja vu, the sensation. I've seen something I already saw this past Sunday.
Isn't it fun?
A beautiful thing, and now everybody knows their cards are on the table. I think Green Bay takes care of business. Adrian Peterson is a beast, 9 yards away from, you know, Eric Dickerson's rushing record and everything, but the fact remains, Christian Ponder is too busy with Samantha Steele, and quite frankly, who wouldn't be? No, seriously, though, it is the most one-dimensional team in these playoffs, the most one-dimensional playoff team in a good long while. Adrian Peterson cannot take this entire team on its back against Aaron Rodgers and the many weapons he has. I think Green Bay gets the job done and actually cakewalks here.
Well, AP did it yesterday against
Thank you. I was just going to say that, Jonathan.
Ponder still threw for 3 touchdowns.
I was just about to say that.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Who needed that game more, Green Bay or Minnesota? The answer is Minnesota.
Right.
Absolutely, but Green Bay played like they needed it just as bad yesterday.
It was a close game.
They played hard.
It was, but I think Green Bay can win by 10 or more points. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, you know, Green Bay should be able to win by 10 or more points. I mean, we've seen them win those types of games.
Right.
But you can't discount the fact that if Ponder comes into this game throwing 2 or more touchdowns and they can get a touchdown or 2 out of AP, Green Bay's rushing game is just awful.
Yes.
So it's going to have to come down to either Aaron Rodgers winning this game by himself for Green Bay, or a team of Ponder and Peterson winning it.
And make no mistake, I've talked about this numerous times. There you go. Rodgers was sacked again 5 times yesterday. That Minnesota defense is quite strong. Rodgers has been sacked more than any other quarterback in the entire league.
Yep, Ponder only sacked once yesterday.
Right.
So we have to mention that.
So, honestly,
it could go either way now because Green Bay knows what to expect from Minnesota. But at the same time, Minnesota knows what to expect now from Green Bay. So I think this is going to be one of the best wild card matchups we got here.
Well, I think it's a hell of a back-to-back rematch. I mean, this is incredible. You know, Green Bay was favored by 3 yesterday going into Minnesota. It would seem to me the X factor here for next week's game might just be, hey, nothing that we're talking about. The X factor isn't Adrian Peterson. The X factor isn't Aaron Rodgers. The X factor isn't the Minnesota defense. The X factor might just be playing in Green Bay.
The frozen tundra.
Okay, so we will say this. Jim, what do you say? Packers?
I'm going with the Pack.
Mike?
I'd have to lean to the Pack probably at this point.
Okay, I'm actually going to go Vikings. Why? Because I like to go the opposite way, and I really think Adrian Peterson is going to be the difference maker. I really do.
Okay.
I really, really do. You know what? Nine yards short of breaking that record. He's going to get that 9-plus more. Mm-hmm. All right. Sunday now. Colts 11-5 on the season, guided by Andrew Luck. Nobody saw that coming. Versus the Baltimore Ravens. This is something, Mike, you and I have spoke about in the past. One and done now. This is a totally different game now. One and done. Can the Colts beat the Ravens, and who do you have?
You know, a couple of things here. We're going to see Ray Lewis in this game next week. I'm on record. Andrew Luck's good. Andrew Luck's not been what everybody, I think, has made him out to be this year. Yeah. I'm very pleased that he's done very, very well with the Indianapolis Colts, and I think that's wonderful for them this year. But I think you're going to see the Indianapolis Colts exit early. And personally, I have to give the edge on this one to the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. Jeb, what do you got?
Yeah, the edge goes to Baltimore, but I just have a funny feeling that the Chuck Strong movement will go on for at least one more game. I can't put a finger on why or how, because, Mike, you're right. Andrew Luck, statistically, all right. He's been clutch, though, and he's led them on several late-game drives this season to win the big game. I'm still not convinced of Joe Flacco being, you know, the great offensive weapon. Well, I can't say great offensive weapon in the straight face.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. But Ray,
why are you
Rice
taking
there
any prescription medication?
Well, I did take the Paxil, so I'm okay now.
Nice job there, Jonathan. Yeah.
Well played, John. You're fired. Oh, wait a minute. This is your show. What am I saying?
No, you're fired, John.
I never even hired.
After that comment, you're fired.
I've never even hired to begin with. No, I would go slight edge Baltimore, but I think it's a coin flip, and I think this is going to be the most entertaining game of the weekend. I really do.
Well, okay.
Well, we'll get to the most entertaining game next after this one. I think Ravens win it. This is a different game. Colts have beat a lot of teams this year, 11 wins, but most of those teams below mediocre that they beat. Different game, one and done. I see Ravens taking this one.
That Baltimore house next week is going to be rocking.
Oh, it's going to be rocking, especially Ray Lewis back.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's get now to the most exciting game of the weekend.
I couldn't agree more.
11-5 Seattle Seahawks taking on RG3.
Ah, yes.
6 Washington Redskins. Mike, Jim, you go first because, Mike, you went first the last time, so who cares about you, man? Jim, who do you got here and why?
Oh, man, this is an incredibly tough game to read because it's essentially mirror images on both sides. You've got good quarterbacks. You've got fine running backs. This is a pick'em game, and if the line is anything more than 3 points, I'll be shocked. I really don't have a say on this game. I at this early, I would need more time to give you a proper digested opinion.
Yeah.
God bless you, Jim. That's exactly what I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Well, you guys are reading off the same cue card, of course.
Honestly, I don't know. Yeah, really. Are you looking at my notes over here? This game is so darn close from and I haven't looked at the lines yet, and I usually don't look at them much before about midweek because I don't trust early lines. But this one is just so darn close. In some respects, I got to give the edge defensively to Seattle.
Oh, God.
Offensively, though, I give the edge to Washington. So, you know, you were saying before about the Colts and the Ravens being a coin flip. Wow, I see this one as a bigger coin flip.
Agreed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? In my opinion, we spoke about this, Mike, a couple of times. What Russell Wilson are we going to get this weekend? That's the big picture. Are we going to get the consistent Russell Wilson who can throw the ball for long yards and for touchdowns, or are we going to get the Russell Wilson who's going to scramble around, lose the football, not throw for any good yardage?
Okay, that's fine. But the one thing you know you're going to get is you're going to get that consistent Seattle defense.
Exactly. And are we going to get a Marshawn Lynch that Washington can't stop?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
As much as I want to see the Redskins win and go to the Super Bowl, because I love RG3, I see Seattle taking this matchup.
Yeah, you know, if you had to put my feet to the fire right now, believe it or not, I think I would lean, and I don't know, Jonathan, whether we're going to come back and make official picks again on Wednesday or not, but I would lean at this moment right now to Seattle.
Well, yeah, we'll talk a little bit about it Wednesday. Pretty cool. Well, we got one phone call real quick. We're going to take it. We only have 7 minutes left in the show, and we got our good friend Big Joe from the Bronx on the line. What's going on, Joe?
What's going on, guys, man?
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, man.
Too, buddy. We only got a couple minutes left in the show, so real quick, what's on your mind, Joe?
I'm just happy with what the Jets did. It's the first move that of many to be made. And question real quick, even though you guys talked about it earlier, I'm hoping North Turner comes in, but I don't think he will because I don't think the Jets have enough offensive personnel to work with. So is there any, like, young offensive geniuses out there that you guys think will be qualified to come to join the Jets?
No. And the only reason why I'm saying that now is because Tony Sperano hasn't even been fired. So let's see what happens there first, because there's a really good possibility right now that Sperano might not even be fired.
Joey, do you want to see Norv as your offensive coordinator, or do you want to see Norv as the head coach?
No, offensive coordinator all the way.
Okay.
Terrible.
Yeah, so listen, until Sperano gets fired, if Sperano gets fired, I still don't see North Turner coming here. I think he's going to hold that for something bigger, which eventually is going to lead teams to fill up the holes that they can and basically, you know, leaving him with the scraps. There's a couple other people out there, you know, can they get a Ken Wisenhunt in as offensive coordinator?
Right.
You know, there's going to be a lot of names floating out there, Joe. Right now, it's hard to really talk about it because Sperano hasn't even been fired yet. So to fill that position with a potential candidate when this position is not even open right now, really hard to say, bud.
Yeah.
All right. The circus continues.
Yes, it does.
As always. Dude, Joe, thanks for calling in, man. Happy New Year to you and your family. Enjoy, buddy.
All right. Same to you guys.
All right, Joe.
Yeah. Like I said, it's hard to fill out these positions when half of them aren't even open yet.
True.
You know,
sometimes it's nice to speculate.
I've been speculating that Bill Cowher is going to come in here, take over, and win us a Super Bowl with the New York Jets. I mean, you know, speculating and dreaming are two different things. It's
well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me hit the prescription medication clip.
Are you taking any prescription medication?
I haven't today. I haven't today. But
Johnny,
I will
have you ever been
on.
In a Turkish prison? Okay. There you go.
Whoa!
Listen, I haven't. I don't want to talk about it.
No, okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, listen, we only got a very few minutes left here on the show. We just want to thank you, Jim, for joining
Thanks,
us,
Jim.
As always.
Always a pleasure, and Happy New Year to you guys. Enjoy the program, and glad that you're a part of the fold at CLW83.com. Cheap plug. There we go.
Oh, I love those cheap plugs from you, man. And also, JimWilliesOnTheAir.com if you want to hire a great guy.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
Give him a call, because we'd like to hire, but we have no money. So.
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
I'm not saying anything more, though. No. Guys, thank you.
We can work things out. We can work things out. I got some cheap prescription medication I can swap.
Hey, wait a minute. I think, you know, hold on. Yeah, the FBI's on line one for you, McShane. Thanks,
right,
guys.
Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Happy New Year, Jeff. Family man. Enjoy it, and we'll hope to talk to you more on Fan Junkies Radio throughout the 2013 and the new year coming up.
You got it, guys. Thanks much.
Thank you. Awesome show. Love having Jim on. We have to have him on a little more often.
Yes.
Than we like, but, you know, Jim, he looks for the big bucks, and we don't have the big bucks. Sorry, Jim. Maybe next time. What do you think, Mike?
Oh, well, we're working out. Listen, we got a whole new year coming here, and we're going to we'll find a way to get some.
Oh, we're working hard, and we got lots of things planned.
Yes.
We have some nice guests, too, Mike. I mean,
starting with Wednesday, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Wednesday. New York Rangers legend Gravy, Adam Graves, is going to be joining us 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. You know, really looking forward to that. You know, my favorite player growing up, you know.
Yep.
How many people get to talk to their, you know, to their favorite players growing up? Not many, Mike, and I'm excited about that. And another guest, I mean, we do have a lot thrown out there, but I want to throw out this name right now, Nate Bellamy. Director, movie maker, he's doing a really good movie on the New York Rens.
Yes.
If you don't know who the New York Rens are, you don't know basketball history. Mm-hmm. So check him out. Look up the Renaissance Men. Look up the New York Rens. Look up the Harlem Rens. Look up Nate Bellamy. Just read into it. Great stuff. It's history. It's basketball history. If you love basketball, this is for you. He's going to be on Monday, January 7th with us to talk about his movie.
Okay.
And, I'm actually really looking forward to that. You know, basketball history, Mike. That's something always to look forward to.
Oh no, that should be fascinating. I love getting into history, and I can't wait to get into that one.
Yeah, we're gonna do a lot of that Monday, January 7th. But like I said, you know, this Wednesday, January 2nd, kicking off the new year with Adam Graves.
There you go.
So you have to go in for that. Just a couple of plugs here, quick. Our own Mike McShane here, and his guys, the Sidekick. Brandon and the rest of the crew, you can check them out, frathousesports.net. Mm-hmm. They did another episode of 5 Minutes at the Frat House, which we're going to start playing here on Fan Junkies Radio.
Starting in 2013, we'll be rebroadcasting. Yep.
Yeah, we're going to have Frat House Saturdays, Mike. Is that correct?
Something to that effect. We're going to work it out. You and I got to work the actual timing on that one out, but we'll figure that one out, and we'll let everybody know when that's going to start kicking up.
I'm actually can't wait for that, and you can get that here on Blog Talk Radio when we do it.
Yep.
On FanJunkies.net, on FratHouseSports.net, and of course on iTunes, because we are on iTunes. So look for Fan Junkies Radio on iTunes, and you can listen to all of our stuff on iTunes.
That's great.
It is, isn't it? I mean, come on. We're special guys here, Mike.
That is great.
All right. Well, you know what? We only have a couple of seconds left. We'll try to update you on Wednesday with even more NFL firings if it comes out, and you know they're going to come out. So for Mike McShane, I'm Jonathan Ragus. Everybody have a very safe and healthy New Year's Eve tonight, and we'll see you all next year, 2013.
Happy New Year.
Maybe you're a 49ers fan in Jacksonville or a Jets fan in Houston, and you're looking to connect with fellow fans from hundreds or thousands of miles away. Look no further than FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net is a social networking site dedicated to fans of every team and every league. Connect with baseball, football, basketball, and hockey fans from throughout the country and throughout the world. Get the latest news, take polls, and interact in live chats on game day. And best of all, it's absolutely free to join. Sign up today at FanJunkies.net. FanJunkies.net, where sports meet social networking.